Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave Slow and Steady as She Goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Hello there, everybody. This is Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. Welcome to another fantastic episode and a wonderful interview here. We're going to go kind of on the other side of the entrepreneurial bent, if you will, and go a little bit more on the corporate side because, you know, honestly, a lot of entrepreneurs start out in the corporate world. So let me tell you about my guest, RJ Grimshaw. He is a bona fide expert in business leadership. He coached at a very young age by his dad. There goes my first question: who inspired you? And whose dad owns several different companies. RJ learned the ins and outs of business growth and management when he built a multi-million dollar company at the age of 22. After spending 22 years in corporate America, RJ worked his way to the top. In 2013, he became president and CEO of Unify Equipment Finance, and under his leadership, he grew that company from $13 million to $100 million in 5 years. Holy smokes. Along his successful career at Unify, RJ is also a business coach and kind of doing that right now while he's still CEO. So RJ, I call that having one foot on the dock and one foot on the boat. But how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jim. And I look forward to the day that I have 2 feet on the dock. So
or 2 feet in the boat, depending on your preference.
I'd rather be in the boat as well. So I'm glad. Thanks for having me. And I look forward to our conversation.
Yeah. So I was checking out your website and some different things. And I'm always interested in when I hear new terms and you, I don't know if you coined the term or I think you said you heard it years ago, but intrapreneur is different than an entrepreneur. And I'm certainly well-versed in entrepreneurialism. What is an intrapreneur?
So an intrapreneur is really the same type of mindset of an entrepreneur, but you're doing it within corporate America. So a little bit of a backdrop on my story or a little bit more color is I actually was fortunate enough to watch my dad, who was my mentor, who was a true entrepreneur, not a small businessman, but an entrepreneur and grew several different companies himself. And I did that. I started that at the age of 22, but eventually ended up in corporate America. And that was by accident. But I decided to take the same mindset that drove my success as being an entrepreneur into corporate America. So with that, a lot of people don't understand that you can be an entrepreneur within an organization, Jim. So many people like the sexy term of, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur and I want to start my own business while they're still in corporate America, but they're not bringing any value to the current organization or trying to learn new things in their current organization or look at ideas and strategies within the organization to help grow that organization. And if they would do that, they would understand that that value and impact they're making to their current organization, they can duplicate when they decide to go out on their own. Because the mindset doesn't change from being an entrepreneur within a corporate America or an entrepreneur and starting your own thing. You still have to have the same characteristics, the same behaviors, the same mindset, the same passion, and same skill set. And a lot of people don't realize, but they'd rather complain and not be happy in their current environment versus trying to be the best that they can be. So there's certain characteristics. And now from the business owner's perspective, so if you're a business owner, small business owner, you have people today in your company, most likely, and I don't care if you have 5 employees or if you have 100 employees, that you probably could tap on the shoulder and would help bring your company to the next level. And you just go on. I'm sorry.
No, that's so interesting. You know, RJ, my 7th book was called Just Say Yes, which I wrote a year and a half ago based on my wife's and I experience saying yes to this incredibly different lifestyle. But as I was looking at it, I realized the ability to just say yes when there's uncertainty and you certainly didn't know everything that was going to happen. You know, entrepreneurs and you know, CEOs often say, if I knew what I knew now, I never would have started this thing, right? And that was kind of us when we were bobbing around in the Atlantic like a cork in a washing machine, like, holy crap. But the ability to just say yes. And so anyway, the reason, one of the chapters in the book, I detailed all the times that I said yes in my own career. From the time I was 15, got my first job, I semi-lied. I didn't know how to repair a bike, but the guy said, well, you got a good attitude, I'll teach you. And that really started a 15-year career. And all the way into franchising, sure, I know how to create a franchise training manual. Well, I had to go learn so I could prove myself. But I think to prove your point, it's a really good point, is that there are people within your organization that have skill, they have desire, but I think because of a lot of corporate culture, and please tell me if I'm stating this incorrectly, they don't feel the ability or they don't feel they have the permission to kind of extend their entrepreneurial wings a little bit.
You're spot on with that. And it really starts within the culture. That's the one of the steps, four steps that I coach business owners as well as in corporate America, that if you want to foster this type of environment, it starts with a culture. And it's not a either or situation. Either you will foster this type of environment and look for certain characteristics, and an attitude is the main one, Jim, of people who are willing to take this risk and willing to do more than what their job description is, and they want to be a vital employee, not just a functional employee within your organization. And as soon as you can foster this situation or foster this culture, you will see a change within your organization. Steve Jobs was the greatest entrepreneur there ever was. He was within a corporate America. He was a, you know, he was the chairman. Now, granted, he was the founder, but when they brought him back, he came in and he was an entrepreneur. He had to lead the Macintosh team, you know, which is a group of people, you know, in essence, you know, back of a garage, but in a large company to build out another product. And I can go on and on and on about different examples, and people can Google just the term entrepreneurship and you'll see big companies that have implemented this. What I want to focus on is that small business, that $2 million revenue company that just can't get to 4 million or 5 million. And they're struggling to do that. And if they just would look within their current employees, that person that has the right attitude, because typically they're willing to learn new things. Very similar when I started a bar restaurant business at the age of 22, I knew absolutely nothing about it. But guess what? My dad had faith and confidence in me, and he knew I'd work my tail off and learn it. Same thing when I took this position 5 years ago as CEO president. I stepped into a legacy company that was established in 1978. And one of my biggest fears was, and I called my mentors and asked them, you know, I don't know everything. I don't have answers. Am I ready for this? And you know, Paul Frechette, who's one of my mentors, said, RJ, you're a life learner. You will learn. You're passionate. You have desire. You're willing to take calculated risk. And what's the worst case scenario?
You know, I read something in a book. I've been, gosh, back before reading business books became quite popular. One of the first early business books I read was one by Jack Welch. I know he's written a bunch, but this is way back in the GE days. And he had this thing called, he had a couple things. Number one, you're going to eliminate, you know, the bottom 10%. You keep finding the top 10%. But the other thing is, he had this thing called R&D, and I kind of took off on that. And so I have a virtual team of 13 that helped me run the various internet companies so I can just concentrate on coaching. But once a month, I tell everybody on my team, I want to pay you for an hour of your time, not to work on my business, but to think about my business. And then we come together on a group, on a conference line. Everybody shares, hey, Jim, have you ever thought about this? You ever thought about that? I bet if we do this, we could lower the cost of articles, blah, 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 blah. And they all come back. And it's the coolest thing. It's like when Sam Walton used to say, I get the best ideas from the floor sweepers, not the guys on the executive suite.
But it starts with the culture and the environment that you've allowed people to think like that. And when they bring you those ideas, I'm sure, Jim, you don't say, no, that's a terrible idea. You let them talk about it, discuss it, share their idea. And again, there's no downside of failure when they bring those ideas to you. And you take one, typically every CEO, and it doesn't matter if you're a $100 million company or a $5 million company, but if a CEO typically can identify one to two things on an annual basis to focus on to change either revenue, cost, efficiency, go to market, a different product, those are game changers. It doesn't have to be 5 to 10, one or two. And that's what we focus on within Unify, one or two things every single year. We call them big rocks that can really pivot and help us grow and go to that next level.
It's so AJ, one of the things I tell my coaching members is that when we do group calls and, you know, get into the whole mastermind principle, it's like, if somebody ever starts their question or their comment with, "I'm not sure if this is relevant or not," I said, listen, because what I have found from being in business as long as I have, the best ideas come from the folks who aren't quite jaded yet. You know, it's, you know, where you're going to think of a question, then you answer it yourself before you ask it. I said, if somebody wants to brave enough to say something, "Hey, I don't know if this is any good, but have you ever thought of this?" I said, pay attention to that one.
It's interesting you say that, Jim, because I find myself, I have a lot of millennials in our company here at Unify, and I absolutely love the energy and fresh ideas. And I always have to remind myself on self-reflection not to be that jaded late 40s CEO and foster new environments and or foster new ideas. And I can give you an example of that. I had a millennial who was an entrepreneur within our company, and he wanted to take on an initiative, and I allowed it. I had zero faith that it would make a difference in our company, but I allowed it. I fostered the environment for him to spend extra time outside of his regular job details and job duties to take ownership and drive this initiative. And it took him 6 months, and lo and behold, it was a brilliant idea.
Wow.
Brilliant idea. And that it's tough being that jaded, trying to go from old tapes, we call them, right? That we've had those old experiences, because we're in a changing world, and it's only getting faster and faster and faster. And you look at how many companies that, you know, just wouldn't change with the times, and you and I both can go on and on and on about those type of organizations. But you really have to focus so many business owners have these people within their organization. The other thing, Jim, if they don't, go and identify the characteristics, ownership, passion, life learner, attitude, and bring those people in their organization. And just like you do, say, "I want you to take an hour a day or an hour a month to think about different things." Take a half a day a week, and this is all you're going to focus on, the E-myth. You're going to focus on the business and not in the business.
Right.
Or if you're the business owner, you can do the same thing and think of different things. But so many times a founder or entrepreneur, it's difficult because it's their baby to think differently, correct? They started it. They have emotion tied to it. When you bring somebody in with fresh ideas who's that entrepreneur, they don't have that emotion associated with it.
I think entrepreneurs, and I think you have to have a healthy ego to be an entrepreneur, because you're out there by yourself, loneliest job on the planet, some people say, but I think your ego can also play against you. You know, when you think you're the smartest one or the sharpest knife in the drawer, whatever expression you want to use, you end up shutting your mind down to potential things that could move you forward. And I'm curious about, so you started a bar and restaurant at the age of 22? That's pretty cool. Now, was that your dad's idea, your idea? Did he just back you with it, or?
Yeah, he backed it. He always wanted to own a bar restaurant. Matter of fact, I was actually in the Air Force at the time, and I came home on leave. I married at a very young age. I married at 21. We were home on leave, and I actually walked in his home office, and I saw the ML. This is back when they had MLL listings, not Zillow and LoopNet and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, "Geez, what are you looking at here?" And he said, "Well," he goes, "if you lived here, I would consider buying it and having you run it, but due to the fact you're not here." And I said, "Well, geez, what if I came home and we did this?" So the next day we walked the property. Day after that, we met with a family friend who owns a bar restaurant. The day after that, we met with our attorneys, and we put an offer in. It was accepted, and that was in August. And by November, I was out of the military. Rehabbing, and we opened in March of 92, and he funded the project for my brother and I. Ultimately, I sold my equity of the business to my brother. He ran it up until March of this year and just sold it.
Wow.
So long established, well run, and I learned my MBA in true entrepreneurship. My dad made me negotiate our insurance, met with the attorneys, met with the bank, walked out of the bank several times with my tail between my legs when you needed financing for a new HVAC unit or anything of that nature, state auditors, ABC liquor board. So it was true OJT, weekly staff meetings, hiring, firing, and you know, that, and he was right there to help me along the way. Never did it for me, but was there to mentor allow me to take risk.
That is awesome. I love that story. And I love the fact that your dad ponied up when you were 22. I mean, a lot of dads look at their kids at 22 and go, what do they know about, you know, much about life or anything, but that's pretty
but
cool.
I showed a lot of entrepreneurship and mindset and he saw the characteristics in me at a young age that I was willing to do that. You know, I was always the guy that was running the sports team, or I was the guy that was putting together, we're doing this event. And, you know, I was just always the guy taking the lead and coordinating things. And I love business. You know, Entrepreneur Magazine would show up in the mailbox. You know, I listened to AM radio back in the day. And he saw something in me that was willing to take the risk. And it, quite honestly, also, Jim, I didn't have a college education. So for what he would have paid for a college education to invest into a business and have a return on his investment, it was loans that he provided us. It was a great investment. And matter of fact, I offered the same opportunity to my son who just graduated from a 4-year school this past Sunday when he entered school. I said, here's an option for you. And he decided to take the degree, which I applaud him for it. And, all of us have our own path.
We do. Well, that's awesome. What are the five skill sets necessary to become a successful entrepreneur in your view?
Yeah, so you really have to be willing to take calculated risk, just like I did in terms of taking risks to move my family to Ann Arbor, Michigan from upstate New York. You have to be a life learner. So you have to always be passionate about, you know, typically it's a person that's listening to podcasts or reading, you know, publications. You have to be passionate. You have to have a zest for living and not just so much passionate about, you know, work and business, but just passionate about life. You have to have the right characteristics. And then you really have to be a person that is looking for, you know, constant improvement. Someone that comes into a job or you see someone that's always trying to change things. And the last thing is a person has to understand the vision of the organization. So you can't have someone that comes in or is in the business and doesn't understand the vision of where that business owner or CEO or chairman is trying to take the business. They have to understand the vision and help implement their ideas into the business. But those are really the five characteristics that you have to look for somebody if you're interviewing or within your company. And it's usually identified early on. If someone was looking at their business right now, they probably could identify the person. Usually it's the person that's not saying, well, that's not in my job description. It's the person who's going above and beyond, most likely probably the first in the office, late last to leave, adding value. And I call it, you know, they're the vital employee, not a functional. And there's a distinct difference between the two. That vital employee is an employee that the company cannot live without. The functional employee, their core to your Jack Welch, the 20, you know, 70-10 rule, you need the 70, but that top 20 are the people who are going to make the change. They're the vital to the organization.
Yeah. I got time for one more question, RJ, and I would sure like to have you back on a future show because I could talk to you for a long time, I think. What do you think from the people that you've started coaching, are they more in the entrepreneurial space or more the corporate space or looking to transition? Or I'm curious what you're finding out there.
Yeah, I actually have both. I have a lot of CEOs that are trying to scale their business. I have a lot of CEOs that are trying to bring this type of culture into their organization of entrepreneurship, what it takes, because it's not an either or strategy, and it does take time, and they want to truly understand how to do that. I also, next week, I'm actually a panelist for an equity fund. We have 12 businesses that are pitching their ideas to us. And then I'll also coach whoever's awarded that in terms of how to scale their business. So I sales and marketing, I enjoy a lot of things. I'm not a finance guy. I'm not a financial. I know how to look at metrics. KPIs are important. Building out those things, you know, those type of standards and SOPs. But I really enjoy working with, you know, people that are life learners, Jim, at the end of the day, similar to you, you know, and if I can't help them, Jim, I've said this too, I don't have the correct skill set. I want to be able to add impact.
Very cool. Hey, RJ, I'm sure some of our listeners want to check out your website or just connect with you social media. What are some ways that they can do that?
Sure. They can go to rjgrimshaw.com. That's my website. There's contact information on there as well. You can Google RJ Grimshaw. You can find, if you do that, you can find videos in regards to social media, entrepreneurship. Our corporate website for equipment financing is teamunify.com, UNIFI.com. But I'm all over social media, LinkedIn, things of that nature. I'm a big fan and proponent of utilizing social media.
Very cool. Hey, it was so wonderful to connect with you. I hope maybe in a couple months I can get you back on.
I'd love to. I'd love to actually come and sit on the boat and do this with you.
Well, we can talk about that, but I would have to get your credit card out.
All right, sir.
That's funny. Hey, thanks again, RJ. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special interview with RJ Grimshaw. If you haven't yet, make sure you connect with me at my my Facebook group called Build Your Dream Business Now. It is free. We're about 425 members, all entrepreneurs and small business owners. We're doing a lot of interactions, kind of some virtual masterminding. I do free training Thursdays. That is Build Your Dream Business Now if you're in Facebook, or the handy dandy link is dreambizgroup.com, dreambizgroup.com. My name is Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. Come back this time next week for another great interview. And in the meantime, you take good care.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.